The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Joined fresh from Australia, as it happens, by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
And in Australia, of course, they're banning the smartphone.
They are, yeah, all over the news there. Under 16s, I think it is, can't get smartphones. Now, how will they police that was the debate, Pat, by the way, because they can get on other devices anyway. But it is an acknowledgement that it's a serious problem, you see. I think that's probably the main thing.
That's the main thing. And
yeah,
maybe a harbinger of things to come in different jurisdictions. Now, we want to talk about two medical breakthroughs this week. The first thing is CRISPR and a change in the technology there. But maybe we'll start you explaining to us what is CRISPR.
What CRISPR is. CRISPR is fantastic, Pat, actually, from a scientific point of view. It's a way to edit genes very precisely. My lab uses CRISPR in an experimental context, you know. But as you know, many diseases are caused by damaged genes. If you can correct those genes, you could treat so many different diseases. And CRISPR, invented by two women, let's give them Jennifer Doudna and Emmanuelle Charpentier. They discovered it, won the Nobel Prize, by the way, for its discovery, as a very precise, like a scissors, if you like it. You can chop out a damaged gene and then maybe affect the course of a disease, is what it is.
Yeah, but like our genes are everywhere in our bodies. So how does CRISPR actually practically work?
That was the big breakthrough, Pat. They found it first in bacteria. Get this. They were studying bacteria and a virus that infects bacteria. The bacteria has a special scissors to cut up the viral DNA. And RNA is used to guide the enzyme into the right gene. You can use a special technique to target one gene and one gene only. The scissors goes in, clips out the gene and kills the virus. They discover that.
Now, the scissors is, in fact, a chemical.
Yeah, it's an enzyme called Cas9, CAS9. And they discover that in bacteria and then immediately saw this could be used in any gene, in any organism. And that's where CRISPR came from.
So if you're being treated for this, you've got some problem that needs CRISPR to edit the gene.
Yep.
Do you get a shot in the arm? Or
you do. You do indeed. Yeah, it's an injection.
And it affects that gene. Everywhere in your body.
And that gene only, yes, because the enzyme is guided to a specific gene and one gene only. The trouble is, there's a risk of hitting the wrong gene. And that's the fear of this always, by the way. Off-target effects are caught. And that's where this latest breakthrough might be useful, actually, as we discussed.
Now, you know, you're talking about the Frankenstein effect, that you don't know what you're going to create when you start using this technique. But let's talk about where it's been successful. What conditions does it currently treat, this CRISPR technique?
Well, the big news this year is the first disease it's been approved for, and one disease, sickle cell anemia. Now, sickle cell anemia is you make a broken hemoglobin, actually, the gene for hemoglobin, because hemoglobin carries oxygen in your red blood cells. If that gene is broken, you get a broken hemoglobin, and that damages the red blood cell. They change shape, actually, into the sickle cell, and that can clog up all your blood vessels. It can give you a stroke, heart attacks, very painful. Now, guess what? CRISPR can edit that gene now and make sure the right hemoglobin's being made. And now it seems to be a cure,
so
and it was approved.
This is a cure.
It's the first ever approval of CRISPR is for sickle cell
anemia. Because
we
know that particularly in the migrant population from Africa, you get a lot of sickle cell. And I'm sure, therefore, in America, because of their history with the slave trade and so on, they probably have it in the black population.
They do. 100,000 people a year are getting it in America. Very painful, very debilitating. Transfusions are used to treat it. Now CRISPR will edit the wrong gene, if you like, and now you get normal hemoglobin, and now the disease goes away. And it was approved in the US. The UK just approved in November. And here we have this important milestone. So CRISPR is now approved for one disease.
How expensive is CRISPR?
Well, that's the problem, actually. It's not going to be cheap. There's a big debate on this. Who's going to pay for it, basically, because it's not going to be cheap to use. Initially, anyway, it'll be expensive, you might say.
Because I know they treat children with sickle cell in Crumlin, for example, in the Children's Hospital. So it would be great if you can offer a cure rather than an ongoing treatment.
I think it will. There's no doubt, Pat, it's so effective. The trial was amazing. A year after treatment, no symptoms, no pain. Very painful disease because your blood vessels are all getting clogged up with these sickle cell red blood cells. No pain. It's wonderful. So again, it'll have to be approved eventually for everywhere.
So this new technique then does not permanently cut with the scissors, the chemical scissors. What does it do?
It's a group of Lithuania scientists in Vilnius discovered a form of the enzyme. Instead of cutting, it causes a relaxation in the DNA. And the DNA is a tightly coiled thing. It's a double helix. You know, if you relax it, it can't make the RNA and the protein. It stops it working, basically. And this format of CRISPR stops the gene being expressed, as we call it. But the thing is, it's reversible, because if it comes off the DNA, it tightens again and now can make the gene. So it's causing a pause, if you like, in the production of the protein. They've discovered a form of it.
And the advantage of this then?
Well, again, if anything untoward happens, you can stop it. You can come off the thing, you know, and then the gene begins to express itself again. And this would be especially if there was an off-target effect. If the wrong gene is being controlled, that's irreversible with the current CRISPR format. If this is more transient, you can switch that gene back on again and lose any side effects.
In terms of the other one, you get the shot, it permanently cuts what you want cut, and perhaps things you don't want cut, but anyway, it cuts. And that's it.
That's it. One shot for life.
And that's it. Whereas is this an ongoing treatment then?
It would be ongoing. No, that's one slight downside, I suppose. Yeah. But just in case there was a side effect, you can come off the drug basically and the gene gets restored. And then the wrong gene in particular that you don't want being turned off gets restored as well. And any side effect goes away. I guess it's seen as a more benign form of CRISPR that's going to be safer. Now, the current one is pretty safe. The FDA wouldn't have approved it, remember, unless it was safe. But still, if you can imagine, sickle cell is a devastating disease. For more common diseases, it needs to be fully safe. If millions of people are given CRISPR, you've got to make sure it's fully safe. So I suspect this new method may well circumvent the old one because it's bound to be safer.
I'm just wondering, what other conditions might be cured by CRISPR?
Hundreds and hundreds. That's the exciting part, Pat. There's so many diseases caused by genetic differences. Cystic fibrosis is the big one. Can you imagine if you can correct that gene to make a normal protein for your lungs to work properly? Huntington's disease is a big one as well. But many diseases have a genetic basis. So again, if CRISPR could be deployed widely, loads of diseases could be then treated.
Now, one of the most common diseases is that of asthma. And the way to treat asthma hasn't really changed that much over the years, but there's a new development this week.
There is. There's this big headline, the first treatment in 50 years, Pat. You think people would have done better over the last 50 years. Now, there are treatments for asthma, remember. But the severe asthma, they can still be very lethal for some people. Down the severe end, steroids are used. They have side effects. So there was a need for new treatments. And now, incredibly, this new drug is called benralizumab. A horrible name again. It's a monoclonal antibody. Mm-hmm. Trial has shown wonderful effects in severe asthma and also in COPD.
Now, the thing about this is it's an existing drug. It hasn't been developed specifically for this. It already is in clinical use.
It is anyway. Yeah, asthma comes in different flavours, if you will. There's one called eosinophilic asthma. These eosinophils are mischievous. This drug targets eosinophils. And it was approved for eosinophilic asthma already, and that's quite good. But more importantly, this was a trial, Pat, on people in hospital with a severe asthma attack. And they were given a huge shot of this stuff. They were given a high dose of it. And lo and behold, a much more dramatic effect. And that they observed this really profound effect if you give a higher dose.
Had they
during
been inhaling this stuff for the other condition?
They had to some extent.
Or tablets or whatever.
It's an injectable. Yeah, so they were giving it kind of prophylactically to stop you getting the asthma attack. This is someone in the ICU who's having an asthma attack. You give them a shot of this. And there was remarkable efficacy in these people who had this subtype of asthma. And more importantly, Pat, COPD, that's chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. That's a very serious lung disease. Yeah. Not many treatments. And again, it worked in that group as well. So here we see two diseases now where this drug could actually be beneficial.
We were mentioning in passing the other day about AI and the fact that AI can scan all the pharmaceutical chemicals that are out there and look at perhaps how they might be used for things other than those for which they were designed.
Yeah, exactly. And this drug was discovered years ago, to be honest. It blocks, I think, IL-5, which I work on in my lab, and it was used initially for certain types of asthma. AI probably said, in severe asthma, this is a good target to go after, especially during exacerbations. And then they try it and it works. And they got the good thing here, Pat, 3.8 million deaths a year from asthma, remember. It's still very serious. And this should help with that situation. The second thing they saw was, Pat, if you were given it, less likely to go back to your doctor again. Often you have asthma, you get over it, you go back again to your doctor. Yeah. In the ones who were treated, it persisted. The therapeutic effect went on for a lot longer.
My goodness. And how expensive?
Won't be that well. And these biologics, these mAbs are expensive anyway, you know, but not as much as gene therapy. But initially it'll be somewhat expensive, I guess. Not as bad as it seems, I think.
Okay. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.